Aleph says the Gemara, Tomer Rabbono, Shnayim Mamtinim Ze Lo Ze, Bekaora, Shloisha Ein Mamtinim. This we already saw last time, that if you have two people who are eating with each other and one pauses to take a little sip of drink, then it's courtesy, it's Derech Eretz for the other one to wait and not carry on eating. However, if it's shloisha, then ein mamtinim. If it's three people, then we do not expect two to wait in favor of the one. In other words, one person pauses his eating in order to take a drink. We don't expect now the other two, who are the majority, to pause their meal in favor of one. This, of course, very much reminds us of halach we've learned earlier on in the perek with regard to zimun, and that is, two people do not have to stop their meal to answer Zimun for the third, but a third person does have to stop his meal to answer Zimun to people numbers two and three. Says the Gemara, Haboitzea hu poishet yodai techila. The one who's boitzea, the one who cuts the bread, he should be the one to be poishet yodai, literally means to stretch his hand out. Techila, in other words, he should be the first one to partake of the meal. These, of course, are not so much halachic principles, although at the end of the day, of course, it is halacha, but more in yonim of derech eretz. Who is, under ordinary circumstances, the boitzea? The boitzea will invariably be the balabais. So it's common courtesy, the balabais is the one who is dispensing the bread, and he's the one, therefore, should also have first go at the food that's on the table. It's not considered courteous if the guests, for example, start tucking into the meal before the balabais has begun eating his. However, v'im bo lachloik kovoid l'raboy, if, however, the balabais, the boitzea, chooses to accord honor to his rebbe, oy l'misha godoil heimenu, or anybody who is greater than him for that matter, then horoshus biyodoi. So then he has rashus to do so for the simple reason, as we just explained. The reason why he must go first is not a halachic principle, it's not a chiyuv. If it will be a chiyuv, then obviously you can't waive a chiyuv. But if it's just an inyan of derech eretz, that it's the correct thing for those around you to wait for you, then you're allowed to forego your honor and you can say, no, please be my guest, you go first.
And that's in terms of who eats first, not who actually cuts. It's not a question of passing the honor on to some rabbi.
We're all past that stage. We're now up to the stage of the person who has in the past been Beitzea. Now they bring the food to the table. He once again should lead things off, unless he decides, which is his prerogative, to pass on that cover to somebody else. Says the Gemara, Rabba Baba Chano have osik lei lebrei bei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. Rather long sentence. What that means is, Rabba Baba Chano literally translated have osik lei lebrei, literally translated means osik, like laasik with every seira, was busy, was involved with his son. What this actually means is he married off his son. He was involved in the Sa'uda for the chasna of his son, Bay, in the house of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. So presumably, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina was the Mechutin. Rabba Baba Chano was the father of the Chosim. And he was involved in the Sa'uda. There he was attending the Sudas mitzvah of the chasna of his son in the house of the mechutin Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. Kodim v'yosef. What does that mean? Look at Rashi on the first narrow line. Kodim Rabba bar Bachano, the aforementioned Rabba Bachano Kodim, he was the first one leishev al hashulchan, to sit by the table. It doesn't obviously translate as sit on the table. Al hashulcha means by the table. He was the first one to sit down. V'leshanois libnoi, and to teach his son, remember his son was the chasm, hilchois seuda. He sat down first and he began teaching the chasm the halachas of the seuda. Why? Why was it important for the chasm to know? Lefi shehachasm rogil, because it used to be the custom for the chasm livtsoya. He would be the one to break the bread. He would be the one to lead proceedings, even though, of course, the chasm is not, in this case, the Baal HaBayis, but else covered for the chasm. He was the one to lead things off. And therefore, his father was teaching him how to do this. So presumably, the chasm had never before been in a situation where he was the one leading proceedings. I guess he'd always been a guest, as it were, at his own father's table. So now was the first time that he actually was reversing the roles, and he was now the one to be leading the proceedings. Apparently that was the minig, as Rashi tells us, for the chasm to cut and distribute the bread, and therefore his father needed to teach him how indeed to go about this. So again, look back into the Gemara. Kodim v'yosef. By the way, is everything so far okay, Rabbi Yodovid, the connection?
Perfect.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Kodim v'yosef, so he was the first one to sit down. V'komasni lei lebrei. What does v'komasni mean? Like masnisim, to learn. He taught his son what to do. And he said to him as follows. Ein haboitzea rashoi. The boitzea, which in this case is you, the chosen, is not permitted livtsoya, to distribute and cut the bread, ad sheyichle omein mipi ha'oinim, until the omein has finished from the mouths of all those responding to your bracha. An important halacha. Says Rashi, look at Rashi, Livtsoya, which we've had this word actually a number of times, says Rashi, Livtsoya means Lifrois haprusa, to slice the slice min hapas. Don't do so ad sheyichle omein mipi ha'oinim. What does that mean? Says Rashi, omein achar birkas hamoitzi. We're talking about the bracha of hamoitzi, which he, the chasm, is now making on everybody's behalf. Make sure that everybody has finished the omein before you then proceed. Why? Says Rashi, da'af anias omein min habracha hi, because the omein is also considered to be, as it were, part and parcel of the bracha. As we know, omein is the response or the confirmation of the bracha. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem Amitzi Lechem in Haaretz, that you are kaviyochol recognizing, benching the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Omein is the response by which you say, yes, I hereby agree and confirm that. So it's very much a continuation, and in fact considered to be part and parcel of the bracha. V'omrin on b'perek keitzad mevarachin. So Rashi explains further. We have said in the previous perek in keitzad mevarachin and daf lametes, Sorich shetichle brocha koidem betzia. You should first finish the brocha before you start slicing. So one and one is two. That's what we learned in school. If you're being taught that you should not slice before you finish the brocha, and if we're being taught that omein is in fact part and parcel of that brocha, so you reach the inescapable conclusion that you must not slice the bread until you have finished omein, because omein is in fact part of the bracha. You personally are not saying omein, but everybody around you is. So you should make sure that everybody says omein, and then you can begin slicing the bread. However, says the Gemara, Rav Chista Omar, a slight disagreement. And he says that no, mipi roiv ha'oinim. You do not need to wait until everybody there in attendance has finished answering omein. Rather, until most people have responded. Most people, it takes whatever, a second, as it were, to say Amen. So for the time that it takes most people to say Amen, that's when you should wait. But you're not mukhayyaf to wait for everybody to say Amen. If there's one or two who are stretching out their Amens, you do not need to wait for them. Why not? Omale Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama said to him, Maishna Ruba. What's the difference? Why is it that you have to wait for the Roiv? Why? Because the Akati Loi Kalya Bracha. Because you're telling me that as long as the Amen has not been responded, the Bracha has not finished. Well, if that's the case, Mi Utanami. So therefore, why don't you say that the same rule applies for the minority as well? The minority as well, surely, as long as the minority even has not yet finished the bracha, then loy kalia bracha, then the bracha has not yet finished if they haven't said Amen. So I don't quite understand, says Ram Bahama, to be honest, what's the difference between the roiv and the mute? If the reason why you have to wait for the roiv is because the bracha is not yet considered finished until the Amen has been said, well, then you should wait for everybody. Because as long as the crowd there, even if it's the minority, have not finished their Amens, and the bracha has not yet finished. Why is the bracha considered to have been finished when roiv of the Mesubin have answered? Why should that be? So he answered, Omale, and he said, I'll tell you why. Sha'ani Oimer, because I say, that kol ha'oine omein yoiser midai, because if you say omein too much, we'll see what that means, too much, in other words, for too long, einoi elo toye, he's mistaken. You are not supposed to be marich in your omein. You are not supposed to be marich in your Amen. And if you're not supposed to be marich in your Amen, so if most of the people have said Amen, and you've got the few, the minority, who are schlepping out and they're saying, Amen, very long, then they're mistaken. And that's not an Amen at all, so I don't have to wait for them. Now, why is that? So let's jump a little bit. We'll come back, but have a look in 4 or 5 lines time. Can you see it's the first word on the line in the Gemara? Just in a couple few lines time, the first line, first word is ketufo. And it says there, v'chol hamarich ba'omein, anybody who elongates, who lengthens his omein, marichin loy, Rosh Baruch Hu will elongate for him Yomov Ushnoisov, his days and years. Rabbi, we're all looking for skulas. Everybody likes a good skula for Arichas Yomim. So here we have one. Anybody who's interested in Arichas Yomim, the Gemara here is telling us that the skula is to be marich when you say Amen. Now, this obviously needs to be understood, but very troubling is, doesn't that sound like an absolute contradiction for what we just learned a second ago? We just said that roiv people say Amen, and those who are being marich, the miut, are mistaken. In fact, you don't even need to wait for them. So what's going on? Is it a good thing or is it not a good thing? What's happening here? So look at Tosfos. I know we've missed out on Tosfos. We will come back to this. Have a look at Tosfos, the third Tosfos, Dibu Hamaschil Kol Hamarich Ba'Amen. Tosfos Dibu Hamaschil, the third Tosfos on the other. Yeah, you have the Tosfos?
The top Tosfos.
No, the third one. The third Tosfos.
Yeah. Okay.
Says Tosfos, Kol hamarich ba'omein marichin lo yom avushnoisov. Whoever lengthens their omein will have their days and years lengthened, says Tosfos, ubilvad. Immediate qualification. Although, says Tosfos, ubilvad, providing that Shaloi Yarich Yoiser Midai. It should be long but not too long. So that's the way Tosis is reconciling the two Gemaras. Why the tam and the reason is lefi she'ein kriyas hateva kamashmo. Because the reading, the pronunciation of this word is not kamashmo. It's lost its meaning. Keshehu marich yosa midai. When you elongate the word, if it's too much, it loses its meaning.
Like in a Handel oratorio.
Like what?
Like in a Handel oratorio, where it goes up and down and all over the place. Yeah.
What's a Handel oratorio?
No, an oratorio by composer Handel.
Ah. Okay, Shkaya, for the musical reference here. If you lengthen your Amen, and you say it too long, it loses its meaning. So again, I don't know exactly how this works in timing, whether it's half a second or 1 second, but presumably if it's exaggerated in length and you really say, Amen, something like that, then you've lost the whole meaning. It doesn't sound like Amen anymore. It sounds exaggerated. Says Tosfos, Umaskana de Milsa. This is really the maskana of the matter that we mentioned before. To ein haboitzea rashoi letzoya ad sheyichla omein mepi roiv ha'oinim. This is really now going back to that sugya. Yes, we've missed out a few lines. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But this is the subject. This is the maskana of that matter. So it's a delicate balance. The sgula of Chazal clearly still applies. It's chai v'kayom. Gemara has not in any way retracted from the Sgula. If you are Marich in Amen, then you are Zoicha to Arichas Yomim. We just have to make sure that it's not exaggerated in length. So have a look, perhaps, just for a moment in the Shulchan Aruch. You have a Shulchan Aruch and a Mishnah Brura, Chelek Beis.
Tzilin. So you want me to phone the lady?
Rabbi Yosef, you're not on mute.
Which Simon?
Kuf Samach Zion 167.
Kuf Samach Zion.
Page 128.
It's on page 130 in mine over here. Sif Tes Zion.
Sif Tes Zion.
So 167, 16.
Yep.
In my edition, it's the top of the page on 130. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein haboitzea rashoi libtzoya. The boitzea should not be boitzea ad sheyichle omein, until the omein has been finished mepi roiv ha'oinim. So you see that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the maskana of the Gemara, you do not need everybody to finish their amen, but you do need at least roiv ha'oinim to answer amen, and then you can begin slicing the bread. Says the Mishnah Berurah, top of the page, Sivkotan Pei Dalad, Ein haboitzea hainu im hu moitziom yedei chayvosom bebracha. We're talking about if you are being moitzi them with your bracha. If everybody is making their own hamoitzi, then they actually don't need, of course they have to say amen to my bracha, because you always have to say amen to the bracha, but they don't need my bracha. And if they're not considered to be connected to me. But if I'm being moitzi people, so like in the classic Friday night, Shabbos morning scenario, when I'm being moitzi everybody around the table, so when everybody says Amen, I should just pause, wait for everybody to finish, and then begin slicing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Tzirkot Pehei, Amen Mepi Roiv, Shegam Anias Amen Michlal Brocha Hi. Because the Anias Amen is also considered to be part of the Brocha. Of course, this is a quote from the Rashi we just saw. In fact, if you look right at the bottom of the page, in the Shaar HaTzion, in Sivkotan Ayin Dalad, he says one word, Rashi. Okay, back into the Mishnah Berurah. Avol hamiut hamarichin yoiser midai. But the miut who are being marich too much, ein sorech lahamtin aleim. You do not need to wait for them. Well, you know what? Let me just turn off this phone in the background. I'm sorry. Yeah, says the Mishnah Berurah, Aval hamiut hamarichin yeser midai, but the miut who are being marich too much, ein sorech lahamtin aleim. You do not need to wait for them. Shekol hamarich ba'omein yeser midai, einoi elo toya. You're mistaken. So we notice very subtly the Mishnah Berurah has added those two words, yeser midai. Yeser midai means too much. And of course, that comes from Tosfos. The Gemara merely says, whoever is marich ba'omein is mistaken, but Tosfos qualified that and says, marich omein means don't be marich too much. But to be marich a little bit is a very good thing. In fact, it's a skula for arichas yamin. Okay, back into the Gemara.
Perhaps you could even say it's a case of yuhara?
Could be, yep. Yep. Okay, says the Gemara. Now let's go back a little bit because we missed out a few lines. Tana Rabbanan, very, very important halachas, even though we're very. I just knocked my video. I'm sorry, it's fine.
Okay.
So says the Gemara, these are very, very important halachas, not necessarily specifically related to a suda, but to all halachas in brachas. And this is mamish halacha l'maisa. We must be very careful with this, as we're going to see now. Tana Rabbanan, ein oinin, one should not respond, loy omein chatufa, v'loy omein ketufa, v'loy omein yesoima, v'lo yizroik brocha mipiv. So we've just learned four halachas over here. Let's take this very slowly. One should not respond with an omein chatufa, or ketufa, or yesoima. So let's have a look how Rashi learns this. We'll see whether everybody agrees. There's Rashi. Says Rashi, chatufa. Now, Rashi learns, and I think there are those who disagree, but let's go with Rashi. Rashi says, chatufa means shekoirin es ho'alef bechataf, v'loy bepasach. Now this is a little bit tricky. What we call in modern day terms Pasach is in fact what Rashi calls a Pasach is what we call a komatz. So in the word omein, underneath the aleph, there is of course a komatz, and that's why it's pronounced omein. So when Rashi says, if you didn't say it bepasach, what he really means is you didn't say it with a comets. In fact, in my Rashi, I don't know if in your edition, there's a little star. Have you got a star by the word pasach?
Huff.
In my Rashi, there's a little asterisk by the word bepasach, and it says in the margin, pirish comets. What Rashi calls pasach is what we call comets.
Yes.
So instead of saying instead of saying a pasach, which means a comment, instead of saying omein, you put a chataf there. What does a chataf mean?
The shavah, right?
Right. So you said amein, amein. Instead of saying omein, you said amein. And that's why it's called chatufa, because you have put a chataf underneath the aleph. A chataf is our shavah. Instead of a pasach, in other words, instead of a comments. The Oimer says Rashi, and in fact, you're saying Amen, v'hutzarech loima, Amen.
It's funny, since there are no vowels by the Rashi, it says Amen, v'hutzarech loima, Amen. They look the same.
Yeah, they do. You've got to put in the vowels over here. Problem is, he's saying amen instead of saying amen. Rabbi Yehuda David, they once asked a priest, why do we always respond amen? Why don't we say our women?
Uh-huh. I saw that.
So he said, it's very simple, because we sing hymns, not hers.
Good.
Yeah, I'll call upon him. So this is now the first example. One has to make sure that you pronounce the word omein properly, as in a comet's underneath the aleph. It's got to be omein and not amein. And that's what it's called, a chatufa. Chatufa means there's a chataf there. A chataf means a shavah as opposed to a comet. That's the first issue. So don't say an omein chatufa. Second halacha, says Rashi, don't say ketufa. What does ketufa mean? Shemachaser kriyas hanun. Shemachaser kriyas hanun. If you miss out the reading of the nun at the end of the word omein, she'enoi moitzio b'peh, he doesn't enunciate it clearly from his mouth, she'teheini keres, in a recognizable way. So he might tell you, no, I definitely said it, but he didn't clearly enunciate it. So what does it sound like? It sounds like omei, without the nun, not omein. Sounds like omei. That's a omein ketufa. And finally,
I remember hearing years ago in Los Angeles when Rav Wasserman's Zatzal came to visit, and during Hazaras Hashatz, I could hear the way he pronounced amen, and you could very distinctly hear that nun.
And you can hear the nun at the end, which is Mamish Medina de Gemara, and that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying if you miss out the nun and it sounds like omei, then that's called an omein ketufa. By the way, the word ketufa literally means to pick something. When you pick something from the tree, it's to be koitev. So here, as it were, you're picking off the omein. You're picking a piece off the omein. It's lost a bit of its omein. It's dropped the nun. And very important, that word in Rashi, when Rashi says, shetahei nikeres, it's got to be in a pronounceable way. In other words, it's no use saying, I said it. If it couldn't be heard and it wasn't enunciated clearly, then that's called an omein ketufa. If it sounded like omei, then that is not the correct way to say omein. One more Rashi. Says Rashi, yesoima. What is an omein yesoima? An orphaned omein. Says Rashi, sheloi shoma habrocha. You never actually heard the brocha. Elo sheshoma Sha'oinin omein, period. So you walked into a shul and you heard everybody saying omein, so you just responded, omein. But you never actually heard the bracha at all. So why is that called an orphaned omein? Because this omein has no bracha attached to it. It's like a child who doesn't have a father. The omein is the child, the bracha is the father. But if you're joining in and you're saying omein, but actually not having heard the bracha at all, then your omein has no father. So it's an orphaned omein. Now, Rashi asks an enormous question. And this is based on a Gemara that some of us have learned together, the end of Masechet Sukkah. V'ha domrinon behecholil. That which we say in Perek HaCholil, which is in Sukkah, Sheba Alexandria, in Alexandria, Shel Mitzrayim, everybody knows this, Hoyu Manifin Besudorim, they used to wave a flag. Kishehigia, when it arrived, the ace, the time, Lanois Omein. So as we know, the famous Gemara, the shul in Alexandria was so large, and the acoustics apparently were not what it was supposed to be. So if you stood at the back, you could not actually hear the Shliach Tzibur. So how are you to know when to answer Amen? So there was somebody in the front who used to be waving a flag, which was indicative of the fact that Chazan has just finished a brach and you answered Amen. No, so what's the big kasha? L'chari, that's an Amen Yesayma. You never heard the brach. If you did hear the brach, you wouldn't need the flag. Alma, so you see, says Rashi, Loi Shamu, they never heard, and yet the Ka'anu, question mark. Although they never heard the Bracha, but they were nonetheless responding, Amen. Doesn't that completely contradict what we have learned in our Gemara?
That the person with the flag decided to waive the requirement.
Right, said Rashi. No, it's not a kasha. Why not? Hanu, because they made a yodi. They indefinitely knew Shehem Oinin Achar Brocha. They definitely knew that they are in fact responding Omein to a Brocha. Not only that, Va'al Eza Brocha Heim Oinin. And they also knew which Brocha they are responding to. Now, they were keeping track. This is the third Brocha, this is the fourth. There was a technical problem. The only problem is that they couldn't actually hear the voice. That's not all we're talking about. We're talking about when you enter a shul, you have no idea what's being said, what's going on, and you just hear everybody say Amen. So if you join in Amen, that is an Amen Yisayma. That's not attached to anything. You have no idea. Is that Amen to a bracha? Is it to a kaddish? Which bracha? What's going on? This has no attachment to anything.
Whereas so, so what you're saying is today, say, if you're in a shul in Ramat Beit Shemesh that doesn't have good acoustics and there are people in the back who cannot hear well, are they guilty of saying an Amen Yesoma or not?
It would depend. It would depend exactly on this Rashi, although we'll have to see Tosis in the Shulchan Aruch. But it would depend, according to Rashi, if they could not hear the chazan, but they are aware, for example, sometimes this may happen. You can hear the chazan, you can hear some noise, but you can't make out the words. So I know that he's begun Chazaras Hashatz, and I know that he's just begun now, so clearly this is the first bracha. So when I hear the flag, or I hear everybody say Amen, and I respond Amen, that is not an Amen Yesoma. Because I'm aware that there's a bracha being said. I'm even aware which bracha is being said. I just can't hear it. So if somebody reminds me, either by waving a flag or because everybody responds Amen, then I can join in. But if I come into a shul and I hear them saying Amen, you are not supposed to answer Amen.
Rav, if I can ask a question, it's a little off the subject, but the discussion of how to pronounce Amen really begs a larger question. If one is listening to someone's Kiddush,
right,
and due to an accent or due to the fact that they slur or they don't read well or they're not pronouncing the words correctly. Not all the, I mean, some of the, obviously, but are you Yotzi?
Very, very, very good question. I once asked this question of my Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Zalman Ulman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I asked him the following question, and unfortunately, if you listen out for it, you'll notice it's more common than you might think. A number of people, when they say the Shem Hashem, if you listen carefully, it sounds like the following. Baruch Ato Adinoi.
Yes, I've heard that. And it's common. I've heard it a lot.
Yeah, if you listen out carefully, people do not, most people do, but some people do not say Adoi. They say Adinoi. I remember, obviously, I'm not going to mention a name, but there was one person in particular in the Groshul. I remember every time he got an aliyah, always used to say Adinoi. I once asked my Rebbe, are you allowed to answer Amen to a bracha like that? Adinoi, there's no such word as Adinoi.
Or even if they put a Shiva under the Dalet, so it's Ad.
Right. Right. And this by extension applies to your question as well. If somebody is incapable of reading, either because he's unable to read or because he's got some physical disabilities, unable to pronounce the words. On one occasion, as you all remember, Moshe Zelig, very kindly, you and two other friends used to take me to Kiryat Sefer in the beginning to sit with Reb Shlomo Zalman Ullman. And on one occasion, our friend Reb Bernard Bloch took me, and he actually came into the Beis Torah to ask Reb Shlomo Zalman, about a great nephew of his who was slightly disabled and spoke very, very unclearly. And he was becoming bar mitzvah. And of course, this was a very sensitive question. Is he allowed to get an aliyah to the Torah? He asked Reb Shlomo Zalman Ullman, and he asked Reb Osher Weiss as well. In fact, I recently saw a tshuva from Reb Osher Weiss to the father. But we're running out of time. Maybe if we have a moment tomorrow, we'll begin and we'll discuss this for a moment or two. So meanwhile, I wish everybody have a good day.